Our star guest today received a BA and MFA in theatre and has performed in regional and off-Broadway theatres before committing to a career in the non-profit sector. However, she never lost her passion for music, and she's given a number of performances over the years. Recently, though, she's become extremely interested in studying the art of cabaret, so much so that for her own cabaret shows, she's received the MAC Award for Female Debut for her first solo show. And I'm very pleased to welcome Camille Diamond to the programme. Camille, welcome to Community Connections and Read on the Radio.
Thank you. I am thrilled to be here.
So you haven't been performing all your career, have you? But did you have a grounding in performance and music when you were very young?
Oh, yes. I mean, I wasn't one of those kids that had a lot of I didn't go to, singing class and acting class when I was very young. I danced very young. I was very lucky. My dance teacher lived literally next door to me, and she gave dance lessons in her basement. Isn't this such a corny little story, but it's true. And I would go when I was 3 years old, and it was the, 70s, whatever. So I would walk over and just kind of watch the dancers. And so the next year when I was four, I wanted to start. So I started in dancing, loved it. And that kind of naturally just goes, it whets your appetite. You get this rhythm in your body, and suddenly you want to sing. And then, you realize that you have something to say, and you're kind of a storyteller, and that leads you to acting. So, by the time I had graduated high school, I was really just kind of set that I really wanted to pursue it in some way. I wasn't sure that I would be an actor, but I knew that it was my passion, and I knew that it would lead me to somewhere that would make me happy. And that is what happened. So.
Your wider family, were they supportive? Were there performers in your wider family?
No, not n they weren't professional performers. I always think that my family was full of secret performers. They all sang. I had a great aunt who lived to be 105 years old, who was a beautiful singer and piano player. I know, and she played piano well into her 90s. So it was a very musical family for sure. I think they were very supportive. They came to see all the performances. When I was an actor, I would act in different parts of the United States, and they would come, and it's big country. So, they would, I was born in Kansas, and they would go to Oregon or California or wherever I found myself.
Amazing support then. You mentioned high school. Were you getting support from your teachers or your fellow drama students there?
I have the best high school experience. I might be one of the few people. I went to a high school called Shawnee Mission North in Shawnee, Kansas, and Margaret McClatchy and Maureen Davis were our theater teachers. They were incredibly supportive. They were supportive of us, but they were also very, very much in love with theater as an art. And they taught us to be artists, and they taught us to think of what we did as not high school theater, but as good theater. I still remember Margaret McClatchy saying, "We do good theater here," and we owned that and wanted to make that so in our lives. I have held on to that my whole life. Like, whatever I do, wherever I do it, I want it to be good and honest and real.
I think everybody has certain people in their lives they look back on and say, that was the turning point. They were my inspiration. And it sounds to me that those two teachers were yours.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You grew up then in Kansas. How early on was it that you decided you'd need to move away?
Well, I think sometimes things just happen that convince you that this is the next best move. I feel like my whole life has been full of those. For sure, when I decided to go to grad school, I wanted to pursue a master's degree in acting. And so the way it works is that you audition for programs. And the program that I liked the most and that liked me the most and wanted me to come was Connecticut, University of Connecticut in Storrs, Connecticut. So that is what got me out of the Midwest. I don't know that I had visited New York, and I always felt that it was a thrilling place, but I wasn't sure that it was necessarily for me. I was such a Midwestern, it's hard to believe now because I've been in New York for so long, but I really did feel that I was such a Midwestern person, and it was a very different vibe. But moving to Connecticut, I found myself in New York a lot more. It was close enough to go see a lot of Broadway shows. It was close enough to feel myself there. I didn't move go there right away. After graduation, I did. I actually performed quite a bit, just wherever I would get jobs. But eventually, I did move to New York. All my friends were here. A lot of my colleagues came here. It just seemed the right place to be, and it was immediately. So much so that when I began to feel like the work of being a performer, you know, the auditioning, the constant rejection, the oh, you're this close, but you know, when all of that, you know, started to feel like too much, I knew that I wanted to be a New Yorker more than I necessarily wanted to be a performer. And that's what kept me here.
And was that the point you thought you would move away from the performing and work in the nonprofit sector, or was that something you were doing alongside performing anyway?
Yes. I mean, the way I was paying the bills was by being a fitness instructor. Can you imagine? But it was very copacetic with performing, you know, because you still, you know, you led a class, you did a show, you had to keep people interested, you were on your feet a lot, you know, you had to make eye contact with everybody and really connect with everybody. There was not a lot of space between doing a performance and leading a class. And so while I was leading these classes, it was at one point there was a place that I was working for. It was a community center in the East Village, actually approached me and said, you know, it would be lovely if you wanted to take on a full-time role here. And I thought about it and I said, well, I can always quit. You know, like if I decide I want to go back to performing, I can always quit. And it just turned out to be the best thing. I learned so much. I was in a place to really grow, to learn. I was eager to learn. I was eager to for success. And that just started my nonprofit career. I learned while doing. It was a good thing for me.
Did you find that you were learning things during that stage of your life that have really helped you when you've come back into the performance? I'm thinking particularly of your work in cabaret, which is a very personal and quite an intense area of performance, isn't it?
You know, sometimes cabaret performers who've been doing this for a while, because it was, you know, when I did my first show, you know, a debut is a thing. It's your first show, so there's a lot to, you know, that a debut performer, even if they've been a performer like as an actor in plays and musicals for a long time, feel very different and can be a bit of an uphill climb. So seasoned cabaret performers had asked me, you know, you seem like you're very comfortable up there, you know, connecting with the audience. Why do you think, like, can you tell me why you think that might be, or what's your secret? And I thought about it and I said, you know, I really take it back to teaching fitness classes because every day was a different group of people. I had to be front and center and all eyes on me, and I had to keep their attention. It was a safety issue. So I would, you know, while I was teaching, I would tell stories. While I was teaching, I would sing a little bit along to the music that was playing. I only chose music I liked, you know. And I think I you know, sometimes when I think about the energy in the room would drop and I could feel it, and I would know immediately how to fill it. That's a thing that you, if you're doing a musical, you actually don't have the liberty of going rogue a little bit to grab the energy back in. All you can do is stick to the script and just kind of, you know, and maybe dig in a little more and hope that it picks up. In a cabaret space, you actually have the liberty to do whatever you think you might need to do to bring the energy back in. And that is the same, believe it or not, in a fitness class, any sort of class that you teach, I would think.
I guess as well, you always have to be on top form. Even if you're not feeling well or you're a bit under the weather, you can't go into a cabaret or a fitness class and give that away.
That's right. Well, I've sung many shows a little ill, and I've taught many classes a little ill. You just sometimes, have you ever heard the term Dr. Broadway? I heard Patti LuPone use it in her book when she was doing Les Mis, in England. She said that, you know, the weather caused this deep racking cough that she had, but as soon as she got on stage to sing, it was like Dr. Broadway, everything's fine. And that does happen.
When you're looking to put a cabaret show together, what type of things are you considering? And particularly here, I want to bring out your amazing MAC Award, MAC being the Manhattan Association of Cabarets, for your female debut. I mean, you were talking earlier on about debuts being important, but that must have been astonishing.
It was astonishing. It was the best creative experience I'd ever had in my life. The lovely thing about doing a cabaret is that you sing the songs you want to sing. You tell the stories you want to tell. You work with people you want to work with, that you love and that love you. And that you trust. And so if they say that isn't quite working, you trust them. When you're working in a show where you're cast, you don't have a lot of control. The director has all the control. And lots of times it can be a beautiful experience, but it's not what this was, which was just perfect. Like, ooh, what about this? Ooh, what about this? And the ideas building on each other to create exactly what you want to do and what you want to say. So I would think that even if it wasn't well received, I would walk around with my head held high because it was exactly what I wanted to do. I think there's nothing like Cabaret. I'm the show that I won the MAC award for was called Over the Moon on Pluto Transit. It was a really deeply personal story, astrology based, about this particular transit in my astrology chart where everything went up and just like upside down for like 2 years. And there was a transit in my chart that said everything's going to go upside down for 2 years. So I just kind of, I played on that theme about astrology and how all of us collectively are in a Pluto transit because, well, at least in the States here, the United States of America was born under exactly where Pluto is right now. And Pluto is the planet of death, destruction, and rebirth. Right? Interesting. So that there was it was a good thing to do a show. But this particular show that I'm working on now is a tribute show to Tony Tennille, who was one of my favorite 70s singers. And the Captain and Tennille was one of my favorite shows when I was a child. And so I'm having a lot of fun. It's a different vibe. It's a different, I'm telling her story and not mine so much. But it feels personal to me because I love her so much and because I admire her and because I connect with her. And the music is just great. So I'm having a really good time.
When you're performing a tribute, as this show will be, when you're putting it together, do you find that you even take more care to make sure that you're doing justice for the person that you are paying that tribute to?
The way I have gone over the script that now the show isn't until May, so I have time. But I'm like, I check dates religiously. Like, oh, did this album drop in 1975? Did she write this in 1972? Were they married in 1975? Just like to make sure everything is. I want to make sure everything is absolutely correct. If I say that she felt a thing or did a thing or if quote any sort of quote, I go, she wrote a beautiful autobiography where it's all there. And so I make sure that that is exactly what she meant or said or the year that it happened. I think I feel a lot more responsibility to make sure that those things are so, that I tell her story accurately in the way that she would want it told, in the way that she told it, in fact, in her book. And then, when it comes to singing her songs, just, to honor what she wrote and the way that she sang, and bring a little bit of my own musicality to it as well.
I just wanted to bring that out a little bit as well. When you are paying a tribute, in this case, to Tony Tennille, how much freedom do you have to interpret the songs your way without making it seem so far away from the original that it's almost unconnected?
I think it's a fine line. One thing that you can do is arrange things a little differently. For instance, doing a medley or a mashup of a couple of the things that she sang or recorded is a beautiful vehicle to be, especially if you're trying to you want to tell her story through her songs. So if there's a song that she sang, you want a certain aspect of her life to be reflected in that song. So you tell that story through the way that she sings it. So you do have some liberty because even if she sang it just kind of like it's a pop song and I'm just, singing, that you have you because I'm telling her story, maybe it's about her marriage. I can bring it back down. I can make it more intimate. And that's, I think that's absolutely doable without making it just so far removed from what she actually did. And there are some songs that you don't ever want to mess with. If I sang Love Will Keep Us Together in any other way than the way everybody's going to want to sing along with it, I don't think it would do very well. I think people would be very upset if I did a different version of Love Will Keep Us Together. It's got to be what it is, that's the song. But there are certain songs that you can absolutely do that with. Especially since she had such a vivid and rich Great American Songbook career, she sang with these orchestras and it was phenomenal. These albums that she did, there's a lot of songs that she recorded there that can be also integrated, and there's a lot of liberty there.
Do you feel quite emotional telling her story and singing her songs?
Especially when the things that she went through that I can relate to personally, definitely, especially the areas where I feel so much compassion about what she must have been feeling at that time, even if I didn't experience that thing myself, I can certainly relate to it. What I love about her that I think so is so fascinating about her is that she really did every 20th century, like mid 20th century, like female. She did all of it. She was like this army wife, and she was a good Southern girl, and she was a 70s pop duo, and she stayed married, and she just did all the things. She did everything except she didn't have children, but she is a very like beloved aunt because she had four sisters, and they all had children. So she's even had that aspect of her life. So I just the way that she's pivoted through all of it, the way that she's embraced all of it, and through any sort of downturn in her career, she just kind of said, "Oh, I think this is the next best thing for me." And that's very inspiring to me. I think we can all relate to that.
I think we certainly can. Camille, do you have a date yet for when you're performing this show in New York?
Yes, I'm actually doing three performances during Tony Tennille's birthday week. Her birthday is May 8th, and my performances are May 3rd, May 7th, and May 9th at Don't Tell Mama. Don't Tell Mama is It feels like home. You get up on that stage and you absolutely feel like home. And I'm not the only one that feels that way. So many cabaret performers, it's home.
What I'd like to know as well, though, is will you be bringing the show over to the UK at any point?
Boy, that is a dream. It's seriously on my vision board. I would love to do that. In fact, I wondered about the astrology thing, but I'm not sure the audience. It doesn't have the same sort of universal appeal, perhaps, as a tribute show where people really love her music, especially people born before 1984,
Well, I
let's say.
think we'd all come and see you in performance anyway, Camille, to be honest with you. Let's just look at those details again. The show you're putting on the 3rd, the 7th, and the 9th of May at Don't Tell Mama, which is, of course, the iconic cabaret venue in New York.
Camille sings to Neil. It rhymes.
Camille, what are you working on apart from the show, or is that taking every waking moment at the moment?
Well, it takes every moment I'm not at work. So my day job is I'm a director of a community center called Manhattan Youth. We serve children and families, and every day is like its own little show. You walk in and we do a number of classes. We do tumbling and music and open play and basketball and tumbling. Just we do so many different classes for the really age three and under set during the week, and then on the weekends, families can skew a little older because we also have this really great swimming pool that is always kept at like a really comfortable degrees, like 86 to 88. So kids love it. We just every day we hit the ground running with these great classes, these great families, these great children. It's a pure joy. It really is. It's one of the happiest places I've ever been. And I love it. So that's where I'll be headed right after this.
You strike me as the ideal person for that particular job, Camille. What is your website address if my listeners would like to find out more
Sure.
about you?
I would be honored to have them on my website. It's just CamilleDiamond.com.
Nice and straightforward. CamilleDiamond.com. Camille, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure not only finding out about your performance, but also the other non-profit work that you do. And
Thank you.
do come back on in the future, particularly if you get that date in London, because we'd love to hear more about that.
Absolutely. This has been a pure joy to me. Thank you so much.